painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking. KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenseth with today's Artbeat.
On this episode of Artbeat, we visit a comic book convention. I bumped into two men who are friends, as well as neighbors, hailing from Hopkins, Minnesota. The two collaborate on a comic book entitled Colliders. Colliders promises mystery, romance, action, and more. We learn how the two started working with each other, what the artist and writer dynamic partnership is like, how creating a comic book is different from other writing art forms, and more. You're listening to Artbeat with Terry Tenseth.
I'm at FallCon in the Twin Cities at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds, and we are talking to two artists, CJ Renner and Jim Clark. You guys create a comic book together, so who wants to tell me when it started and why?
I guess that duty falls to me. Started about 2 years ago or so, 2.5 years ago. I was interested in doing some fiction writing, or I've been trying to do fiction writing for quite a while. It seemed like with long-form fiction writing, you do everything but that when you're trying to make a career for yourself. You know, it's like, in order to be a novelist, you actually have to be writing short stories and talking to agents and blah, 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 blah. So I was interested in, you know, maybe the graphic novel world's a little bit different. So I went over to McAllister, audited an MFA class on writing comics and graphic novels. And it was there that I really fell in love with the comic book format. You know, it's serialized. It's kind of an interesting twist to put on your own writing, to have to make it exciting, you know, every 20 pages or whatever. And so from there, I developed the first issue of the comic book within that class. And I have my good friend Jim Clark is a fine artist, and he loved comic books when he was a kid. And I thought, hey, maybe this could be a good collaboration. And we did that first issue as kind of a way to a portfolio to show, you know, companies that, you know, hey, I can write, or hey, I can draw. And after that first issue, it got enough attention, and we really dug meeting the people that we were selling to. That's something you don't get with, you know, more typical types of fiction. And so we loved it enough to keep doing it. So we've been doing it for a couple of years since then.
Tell me a little bit about the storyline for Colliders and whether there were people in your life that inspired you to create the storyline that you got going on.
That is a good question. I've never been asked that. Holy cow. Pow.
That's journalism.
Yeah, kapow. Yeah, pow, journalism.
Yeah.
You know, wow. Every once in a while, for a character, like the visual of a character, we'll talk about a certain, you know, actor or somebody who we know. And in issue two, we did a Kickstarter. One of the rewards at one of the levels was to be drawn into the issue. So, you know, there was a time where there was a very specific, you know, some of the background characters looked exactly like people we know. But in terms of, you know, the personalities of the characters, they're more deconstructed from what was necessary for the story that I wanted to tell. So there's very little, you know, diary to the story. It doesn't tell my story at all, but it certainly comes from a very honest and intentional way I'm seeing the world. And I do really want the book to mean something, and by the end I want people to say, hey, you know, that was worth a read, not just for the beautiful visuals, but that meant something. Yeah.
So in your words, give me your selling pitch, what Colliders is all about.
Gotta go Jim on that one.
The book starts at the Large Hadron Collider, that particle smashing experiment looking for the God particle. There's a scientist working on the program. A journalist is sent to interview him. And then this mysterious assassin shows up. And their three lives are thrust together, even as the particles in the accelerator are. And we see what happens when their lives do, in fact, collide, and the ripples and effects this causes through time and space. There's a bit of action. There's a little bit of romance. There's quite a bit of mystery. And maybe, just maybe, don't tell the writer I'm telling you this, maybe a little bit of time travel. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's pretty darn cool for me, even, to read what he's got going on and what he's got in store.
What are some of the challenges in pursuing this avenue of your art?
Well, it's a good and a bad thing, the way that you sell comic books, in that it's great, especially in the Twin Cities here, to you're meeting people face-to-face, you get to chat with your fans, you get people coming up at every convention, you know, hey, I loved issue 5, give me issue 6. And also the comic book stores here are super nice about, you know, you show up and all the new Colliders is in, you know, sweet. And that's a great pat on the back. But there isn't that mechanism in place for, you know, make your work and have somebody distribute it for you. You know, if you were to do it that way, you could spend more time making your work, which is, you know, certainly a nice thing in a way, too. But there are some comic imprints that are doing that and starting to reach out more to the indie creators. So, you know, we're hoping after we finish up with issue 8 that we might take it in a trade paperback format and release it through a distributor.
So there's a big supportive community in the Twin Cities, which is great. It seems like it's almost hard to become yourself as an artist, you know, and really stand out and make your name known. Mm-hmm. But it's nice that you're getting that local support from the area stores. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about challenges in this.
For sure.
Yeah, in this genre of art.
And, you know, maybe CJ spoke to it a bit, but, you know, a big part of it is, so this is a passion of ours, but we also have other, you know, work that we have to do to pay those bills. And so to keep it going on a day-to-day basis and consistency and whatnot, that can be a challenge. But we have an excellent, and he probably spoke of it, an excellent a supportive community in the cities here for independent comic creation. But, you know, I mean, other than that, challenge-wise, there's the age-old creative differences, which fortunately for us, in a lot of ways, we share a vision. And then when we do have disagreements, you know, we just go out in the backyard or whatever and duke it out. And whoever knocks the other guy out first wins. No, but no, we have a good working relationship.
Creatively, how do you two go about starting an issue?
I'll start out with giving them a script, and I try to give them the script by the time the last one is finished illustrating. And we're actually next door neighbors. So, you know, whenever he's done penciling a page, you know, he'll invite me over. And
I open the window and I say, hey, shoot that over to me.
Yeah, right. You know,
paper
right.
Airplane
paper
style.
Airplane it. Right, right. So I'll go over there and I mean, it's almost always, damn, I love this, and you know, I'm excited to see this inked out. Every once in a while, there's a little tweak here or there. You know, hey, maybe there's this one panel should be two or something. But I always love to get the call that another page is done or whatever.
Usually, I'm right. Yeah. So he sends me the script. It's got, you know, essentially kind of stage directions and then the dialogue. And sometimes there's something about it that I can't quite wrap my mind around as far as how, you know, how are the individuals going to interact in this? And so I'll get a hold of them and talk to them about it. But the magical thing about this type of, you know, you got a writer and then the artist, you know, he's on the front end of it and he's got it all in his mind and I'm getting it script by script. And this most recent issue, issue 6, and this is a secret between, you know, me and your listeners now. I mean, it has the moment that I feel, I mean, I just about started crying while I drew it. It was magic. It was magic. But yeah, I mean, it's a great thing. So as far as creative difficulties, it's sometimes, I mean, one thing that happens when it's a writer-artist duo independently creating the book, there's no editor to serve as a mediator. You know, when there's a creative difference, we do have to, and I talked about it before, exactly, kind of fight it out. Whereas if it was possible to have an editor to serve as kind of a mediator and then to serve as that third voice, well, you know, the writer isn't necessarily, and correct is not the right word for it, but we'll take a little bit of your idea and a little bit of your idea and we'll make this other thing. You know, we do have to do that ourselves. And sometimes, mostly on my side. There's, you know, hurt feelings and tears, but but you know, it's a great thing too, and that it's very direct, and that's the flip side of it. That, you know, you could say that we don't have to work with the editor, which is nice too.
I would think, you know, living next to each other would also mean you have to get along.
Right,
so
right,
I mean,
right.
most disagreements couldn't go past like 24 hours anyhow.
For sure. And I can't teepee his house because it's right next to mine and it would reflect poorly on my property values.
For you with the art, do you have to be like alone and not have any distractions?
That's a great question. I draw with music on. And a lot of times, if possible, it's great to have people around, like watching a movie while I'm drawing or reading while I'm drawing, because drawing is a very solitary thing. I like to have people around. But, you know, I know a lot of artists that they're like, they don't want anybody in the 5-county area, you know. But I'm cool. If people want to sit and, you know, have their head over my shoulder, that's fine, too.
As the writer, CJ, do you start always at the beginning or do you hop around within your plot before you finish it?
But that's a really good question, because I think we do a little bit of teaching of writing and illustrating, and I think that's something that, you know, is a little bit of a trap that people fall into at the beginning, is to start, you know, right at the front and work completely chronologically through their story to the end. And I prefer, and this is taking a little bit of a page out of Jim's book, I prefer to go for like a macro, gestural, working general to specific way. So you get that idea for a story. You know, maybe it's just a paragraph idea. So you take that paragraph, and then you work that out into maybe 2 or 3 pages of, you know, that's what's going to happen in this story in a general sense, maybe over your whole arc, or maybe just in a specific issue. And then I, what I do after I have that couple pages is I take a page, you know, number it 1 to 20, you know, how am I going to break this up into specific pages? And there's other concerns about, you know, if you're going to have two double page splashes, those need to come on specific page numbers and whatever. So that's a good way to kind of work it out in a macro sense. And then I go page by page after that.
So it seems like the structure actually helps you, whereas some people might get trapped in the structure of having to do that.
For sure, and I think if you're going to be making a comic book, I think you want to make something that's going to be better as a comic book than it's going to be as a novel or as a movie. You know, I think a lot of people make comic books, even big-time comic book writers, make comic books that really would be better movies, you know. And so if you're going and thinking about the specific page layout, specific page numbers, I think that helps you remember that, hey, I'm making a comic book here, and let's make it sing, you know, for that illustrator to do the best work that they can.
And for you, Jim, do you start out in pencil or do you go straight to ink?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I generally start in pencil, and he gives me a script, and I'll take out a sheet of smaller paper and I'll do roughs just to get a kind of schematic idea of how the panel, or how the page, panel by panel, is going to work, and then how the page works in an overall holistic sense. Because a comic page really needs to function as one large composition with a bunch of smaller compositions within it. And so I might do maybe 1 to 5 roughs just on the composition of the page. And then I'll go in and do the pencils of the page. I will scan them into my computer at that point just so I have a reference copy or a backup if something goes wrong. But then I ink over the top in India ink and technical pens, watercolor brushes, but also, and sometimes dip pens. And then I erase the pencils in.
Do you ever feel trapped by any of your characters and want to kind of step outside the artistic flow that you have going within the Colliders?
Absolutely. I mean, this book, it is grounded a lot in reality, and every once in a while a guy wants to draw, you know, a barbarian or an alien or a superwoman, you know. But fortunately, the thing about it, when we first started the book, you know, and again, as the illustrator, I'm getting these scripts, you know, one issue at a time, so I didn't know where he's going with this. but he's afforded me the opportunity to scratch some of those creative itches in that there are some characters throughout the universe of Colliders that give me the ability to make some of those creative choices, yeah.
So you don't just, like, bust out Superman in the middle of it and, like, email it over and he'd be like, what is this? No, that doesn't happen. Those kind of shenanigans. Never.
I think I might do that next issue just for fun.
And we are, at issue 6, we're to the point where in the script I will throw him a little curveball sometimes and make him say, oh, did you really mean that? I'll be like, no, I didn't mean that. And he does the same thing with the drawing, so...
So you want to be able to target multiple audiences. In order to sell a comic, or maybe that's not even the point, but you want to have what they call universal appeal, something everybody can relate to. So you've got a couple of different themes going on. Do you think you're attracting equal men and women to the series? Or what are you doing to try to do that?
Well, I think, you know, we've got a little gunfighting here and there, and maybe our physical handsomeness... helps with selling
Radio
it.
Radio is great for selling how handsome we are.
Well, that's why we have to talk about it. Yeah. Right.
I look very, very good, as do you.
Right.
As do you.
All that aside, you know, when I've written fiction in the past, it's been pretty well received by both men and women, and I've never had that problem, you know, and I would say the same about Jim's fine art work. So I guess that was, we never really had to think about, you know, will this appeal to men and women? You know, we just made the story we wanted to make, and it seems to be pretty
right. And perhaps,
well received.
Perhaps unwisely, we never have the sit-down marketing meeting, you know, how are we going to appeal to this demographic? We are just telling the story that we feel we have to, and by chance, because, you know, CJ is a well-rounded individual as a writer. There are things that just happen to appeal, I think, to a wide range of humanity.
And that is a little bit of one of those good and bad things about being an indie creator is, you know, there's nobody telling us we have to sell books, a certain number of books. There's nobody saying, you know, you can't do that, you can do this. Right now, it's time to enjoy that freedom, and maybe if we're picked up, you know, down the line somewhere, we have to run into some issues with that, which, you know, whatever, that's maybe a good problem to have. But for now, it seems to be working itself out.
Tell me a little bit about what you do with education, because we had a short little snippet of a discussion, but what are you currently doing?
Well, Jim has a past in, and I can let him speak to this, but a past in teaching drawing to students of, I believe it was the lowest 4
yeah.
to, you know, one of your drawing students was way up there in the 90s, right? So he's had that background. I was an education major in college, so I've had some experience with that as well. And so we've done a couple of workshops and then also short continuing class sessions, you know, a 6-week deal, 8-week deal, where I'll teach the writing and Jim teaches the drawing. And he knows enough about writing, and I know enough about drawing just in our working relationship to, you know, help each other out a little bit. But the idea is, and we've done it for younger students and older students, you know, there's really not a ton of education out there for people who want to make comic books. It's a little bit new. We were just talking to some students today who their college started a program just 2 years ago on it, which is exciting to hear. We wish we had those classes when we were younger, so, you know, why not be on the other end and teach them now?
Well, you pretty much covered it. I personally teach observational drawing, so drawing from life primarily, and then together, as CJ mentioned, we've done comic book classes and comic book workshops. So a bit of the illustrative type of drawing from, you know, the ether, drawing from imagination, as well as the writing aspect of it and how those two mesh.
What do you guys do when you're not doing this? Gotta know.
Right. I teach drawing classes. We're both full-time MFA students at Vesper College in eco-architecture. So stretching, you know, our 2D into the 3D. And, you know, we put together with a number of different gigs.
And I do some accounting. Right. That's what pays the bills. So, yeah, it's a little humdrum, but whatever. It affords me the time to do this. So it's great.
What's the goal for you guys? Another series, or where do you see yourself going?
That's a great question.
Yeah. That is a great question, because we haven't really talked about it that much. You know, we just released issue 6.
And we're thick in Collider.
Yeah, and we're pretty deep in it right now. And the plan is for an 8-issue arc, and potentially stretching to 9, depending on you know, the length of those, that last component of the story. And I was just talking to Jim in the car ride over here about another idea that I have. So we're trying to decide, you know, are we going to continue this universe into another story plot, or start a whole new, you know, noir 1930s kind of deal? So we'll have to duke it out on the ride home.
All right. Fun question. You ready?
Yeah.
You could be any comic book character. Who would it be and why?
Conan the Barbarian. And specifically, the Marvel Conan from the 70s and 80s, that was the character that I grew up reading. And specifically, Roy Thomas's version of Conan versus that character was originated by Robert E. Howard, but I feel like Roy Thomas's Conan was a little bit more cerebral, not simply an oaf or an action hero, but a pretty well-rounded character. I mean, for a hack and slash barbarian.
And nothing to do with the biceps, right?
Well, or the women that he happened to interact with over the course of the series.
You already have huge biceps and a gorgeous wife, so.
This is true.
Right.
All true.
Yeah.
Huge biceps.
Huge, gorgeous wife. Oops. Yeah. That's another good question. I would say Rogue from the X-Men, which is maybe a little bit of a strange answer, but I see her superpower as kind of a super empathy. You know, she touches somebody and draws them into herself and sort of becomes them. And I like that idea of superpowers being just an extension of your personality or your neuroses or whatever. And so I like her accent too, but whatever. Maybe I should be Gambit, because he's the one who gets to be with her. Maybe that'd be even better.
Great. If people want to find out more information about you two and Colliders, where should they go?
Facebook, www.facebook.com/Colliders. And that's where you can find us for sure. Or your local comic shop. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
That was a pleasure.
Thanks again to CJ Renner and Jim Clark for visiting with us. More information on Colliders can be found on Facebook. I'm Terry Tenseth, and you've been listening to Art Beat.
Art Beat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.